Good morning. My name is Michael McCusker. This upcoming Sunday, May 10th, will be, or would have been, the 86th birthday of Arthur Honeyman, renowned poet and lifetime spastic, born with cerebral palsy, who was 86th out of life the same year as my mother in 1987. He was born somewhere in Missouri in 1940 during a cross-country road trip by his parents. He was terribly discriminated against, as well as being vastly loved and admired for his physical, mental, and outspoken courage about the trials, tribulations, and indomitable courage of human biological cripples, mental as well as physical. Although his remarkable brain almost compensated for his defective, spasmodic body, today his program is about Arthur and somewhat about my impersonation of him one brief day in Portland in 1971 as an attempt to experience briefly some of the prejudice he faced all his life, despite his remarkable capacity for making lifelong friends who regarded him as remarkable. I call it Spastic for an Hour. And I have a little note. Arthur Honeyman ran twice for the Oregon legislature under the banner of Spastic Power. The night I pretended I was a cripple was Michael Marsh's birthday, and the big, shaggy, cantankerous, moon-faced bear was getting juiced on red wine. Arthur Honeyman was drinking his through a straw, and for all I know, I might have been lapping mine from the table. Halfway into the time most people eat dinner and scramble their digestion with evening news, Arthur held a quivering hand in the smoky air and asked if I would take his Spastic Power walking cart to Coninia House, which was near Portland State University, which he was attending for a master's degree in literary arts. He would probably get somebody to drive him along later. I fell out into the foggy night and climbed into the cart the way Arthur does, and the first thing I learned was I don't have leg muscles anymore. After several years hauling himself around in that cart, if he got close enough, I'm sure Arthur could bring a bull down with one kick. The next thing I learned was why he was so self-contained, so complete a person. He lived in a shell he didn't build, forcing him to develop fully within himself. Others built the shell for him before he got a chance to do it himself, like most of us do. They built it because they were afraid, and some of those others who walk around freely, not even thinking about the intricate complexity of the machine programming the lifting of a foot, the bending of a knee, did their best to use the machine in getting around me. Bent over, hanging onto the iron bars of the cart, pulling with two out-of-shape legs in short, choppy steps, I was a freak to the norms scrambling past. They couldn't look at me or touch me. Lightning would shoot out of the sky and make them freaks like me. I was a leper, and my flaking skin would infect them. I was a disease they had to shut out because it wasn't their fault they could walk, and I had to shuffle along in a cart. And Jesus Christ, there were enough things to feel guilty about these days. The Vietnam War at that time, bigotry, poverty, pollution, without torturing the weary, giddy brain with one more burden on the sanity. They walked past, seeing me. They couldn't help seeing me, but they didn't want me to know they saw me as they walked past. If they walked past, because several of them veered off, crossing the street, or stopping and turning their backs to me until I struggled out of sight. And it doesn't matter what reasons they had, if they were aware of them. What did matter was how I took their avoidance, and maybe Arthur did not let it bother him anymore, if he could cork his emotions. But I was Arthur Honeyman for a day, an hour, really. A big liberal trip, an idea that came with several wines. But you learn in any way that you can, however impoverished the chances. And though I can't shake my body like four winds tearing at a tree, the contortions Arthur had to put up with from his body, I could take a walk one foggy night in an iron barred box with shopping cart wheels and let everybody pity me as a cripple and solemnly think, there but for the grace of God. I started asking for help. Give me a little push, will you, huh? I'm going the other way, a man said. Sorry, but I gotta meet somebody, apologized another. A woman was in a hurry. A man was just going up to his room. Another was just going to his car. Everybody had a good reason not to give me a push in my funny-looking cart. They didn't sneer, nor were they in any way hostile. These people were really well-meaning and apologetic, if not embarrassed at not knowing what to do or say. They simply did not want to get involved with me to even that minor extent, because it goaded a greater responsibility, and it was just more convenient to chastise themselves with the guilt of having done nothing than to do something and realize the responsibility for brothers and sisters does not end with token gestures of goodwill. It demands every breathing moment of every person's life. The guilt is easier by a long shot. If you've made it this far without freaking out or cracking up, you know damn well your defenses are in pretty good shape. I am certain the crippled man in the beat-up little cart would have been quickly forgotten by protective minds, except I told them all to bleep, bleep, bleep. Arthur would have been proud of me. A couple of days later, Portland Mayor at the time, Neil Goldschmidt, showed news persons the difficulties in living out of a wheelchair. That was the day Michael Goldhammer sat in his wheelchair and read a statement Arthur had written for the press. He had put enough pressure on City Hall for them to suggest a planning commission with physically handicapped as members, determining facilities for them in present and future buildings. Arthur's statement thanked them for doing something they should have done half a century ago, and gently suggested it was only the first small step towards demanding and getting self-determination for the physically handicapped. That's an expression for you. Physically handicapped. Solemn, ominous perhaps, but shorn of the anguish and pain and daily guts it takes to live in a society that does not see them. An official expression designed to keep them and everybody else from thinking of them as anything but a medical problem. Who are the physically handicapped? They are people like Arthur Honeyman and Michael Goldhammer, who have been crippled in their bodies one way or another through physical birth defects or disease. I grew up before Salk made his vaccine. Polio threatened all of us. They are the aged whose bodies have withered, and they are the young who the politicians sent off to get paralyzed or lose their arms and legs in the Vietnam War. What Arthur Honeyman and Michael Goldhammer are trying to do essentially comes down to stressing the political power these thousands of people have towards determining their own lives. They are not medical problems, living at the charity and expense of society. They are a terrific political force, the potential of which frightens hell out of politicians. Ugly people, fat people, hunchbacked people, crippled people, black, brown, so-called yellow and red people, people with pimples, midgets and dwarfs, bearded ladies and sword swallowers, freaks, evil. The only people I do not fear are those who are like me, except I fear myself and mistrust everybody who is like me. Isn't that the strange, psychotic dichotomy we all live under? Arthur Honeyman's body shook with the spasms of my brain, of all our brains, spastic and uncontrolled. His outsides were what all of us are inside. Most of us think we live in our bodies, pursuing bodily pleasures for their own sake. Arthur's body did not work so well, so he lived consciously, where the rest of us live subjectively, if not accidentally. He was never considered in our daily life patterns, so he faced every minute of every day with emotional and physical obstacles designed to break the will of even the strongest gorilla in the jungle. I am tired of feeling that I am treated like a mascot, Arthur once wrote. Actually, he dictated it to be written in an open letter to Portland newspapers. I am tired of being a pillar of institutional respect. My cause is not just to get better facilities for the physically handicapped. My cause is not just to maintain better communication with the physically handicapped, but my cause is also to get rid of an atmosphere of paternalism towards the physically handicapped. That is why I bear my sign on my cart saying, spastic power is an irrational feeling, but then so is love. And a poem by Arthur, Spastic Power. Stare at a spastic. Watch me shake. What's so different about me? What are you looking at? Be kind to a spastic. Coordinate with a spastic. Vote for Arthur Honeyman II. Joy. A spastic loves you. Spastic power isn't an ego trip. I'm just fooling you. I'm not a spastic. Nail a spastic to a cross. Spastic power says, steady now. Spastic power questions. Spastic power probes. Does it hurt? Go steady with a spastic. Catch a falling spastic and put it in your pocket. A spastic is a mini splendor thing. A spastic is a kaleidoscope. Spastic power is radical. Spastic power shakes. Now, spastic, don't be drastic. I'm all shook up. Spastic power. Drool with a spastic. Spastic power shocks. Scare a spastic. Smoke a joint with a spastic. Get drunk with a spastic. A spastic is a moving target. Adopt a spastic. Are you threatened by a spastic? Spastic like me, the once and future spastic. All quiet on the spastic front. The spastic also rises. Spastic in Berkeley. The spastic writes poetry. You don't want a politician in the legislature. You want a spastic, don't you? A spastic in King Arthur's court. Be spastocentric. A spastic looks at society and waits for Godot. A profound spastic. A spastic's mask does not hide his body, just his soul. Spastic power, tragedy or comedy. The worldly spastic. Put a spastic in the legislature. A spastic in every House of Representatives. A spastic in every lobby. Spastic power is for democracy. How about you? Shake a leg. Vote for a spastic. Shake a hand. Shake a spastic's hand. I'll bet I can't hold still. I'll bet I can hold still. Take a spastic to lunch. Spastic power is flower power in disguise. Rise and unite, spastics of the world. Twist and shout for spastic power. Stutter for a spastic. Spastic is a layman's term for cerebral palsy. Good news, a spastic accepts you. A spastic, a likely story. Stop a cop with a spastic. Smile at a spastic. A spastic smiles at you. Spastic power through the looking glass is spelled Rewop Sitsaps. A spastic in Wonderland. A wonder in spastic land. Beautiful, beautiful spastic. Educate a spastic. Educate a spastic. A spastic educates you. Spasticity is elasticity. Spasticity is your addition. Spastic power is sedition. Cut loose with a spastic. Spastics, God damn them anyhow. Do you have the guts to wear this button? Spastic power. Become a spastic, not a shaker. A spastic mind wanders in devious ways. A spastic is a deviant. Maybe your spastic son could grow up to be a football player. Maybe your spastic son could grow up to be a legislature. What if God were a spastic? I'll bet you don't have a cart. Drop a Rolaid with a spastic. Go down the tube with a spastic. Take a spastic down the fire tube. Who's your favorite spastic? Stand on your head with a spastic. Feed a spastic. And they shook slowly into the sunset. Wipe your feet on a spastic, but don't step on its toes. Spastic power is not reasonable. It's feeling, but then so is love. I am hung up on spastic power, but 100 spastics in key positions throughout the streets, and there would be a whole city of paralyzed traffic shaking the foundations. Why not grab a spastic and use him or her as a machine gunner? Stop war. Draft spastics. Freak out the enemy. Spastic power is neat. Put a spastic in sneakers. Put yourself in spastic shoes and then dance. Spastic power, because wipe out prejudice. Vote for a spastic. Have you seen a spastic kitty cat? I have. A spastic is not an epileptic, but he wishes he were. Shake, rattle, and roll. Shake the foundations with spastic power. Don't just stop at shakies. Go all the way with spastic power. Spaz zaps. Spaz means spastic power. Spastic power against ZZZZ. U.S. means Uncle Spaz. U.S. wants you. Confront a spastic. Dance with a spastic. I'm not a spastic. I'm a choreoathetoid. I'm not a man. I'm a spastic. How often do you shake? Spastic power is a learning process. Spastic power is a loving process. Spastic power is against boxes. Spastic power is against institutions. Spastic power is for black power. Be a clown with a spastic. Rub nose with a spastic. Take a spastic to your country club. Spastic power is serious, but not too serious. Spastic power is a joke, but not too funny. Spastic power confronts you. Spastic power uphill. Spastic power downhill. Spastic power looks into the future. Spastic power shakes away the past. Shakes is not a disease. It is a psychological condition. Shakes are not just for houses. Shakes are not always chocolates. Shakes are not just shingles. Buy a spastic shake. CP means cerebral palsy, not Communist Party. Spastics can drink beer through a straw. Grow a beard for a spastic. A man once said the only good CP is a dead CP. Is that true? I'm a spastic, not a drug freak. Hitchhike with a spastic. Spastic power equals joy. Re-wop sit-saps. Walk a tightrope for a spastic. Laugh with a spastic. What's a spastic? I do not have muscular dystrophy. I'm a spastic. I'm a spastic and a man. Spastic power dislikes corners. To the back of the bus with a spastic. Spastic power means to be conspicuous. Spastic power is not a mistake. Spastic power is evil, and you know what evil spells backwards. Give a spastic a bath. Spastic power is joyous, hopeful, and insane. Get kicked out of a restaurant with a spastic. And that was by Arthur Honeyman, Spastic Power. And now another poem by Arthur, Cripples Power. Only a decadent society will let them live without any ulterior motive, and that's a quote from somebody. We are not even good enough for institutions. Throw us off cliffs. Forget constitutions. Society can't afford the taxes. Should be sharpening axes. Soon you won't need to be frantic or frenetic. Blonde perfection will be automatic, genetic. I apologize for my existence. What's that? Christian resistance? Now really, I mean realistically. Survival and cripples. Forget idealistically. This ain't real. It's surreal. But drooling, incoherent, shaking, spastic. Writes a poem for the city club. Fantastic, iconoclastic. And coacher, crippled little bloker, keeps on stoking, pushing, shoving, screaming, burning, funny little arms, joking. The one-liner, coacher is a shriner. So we're making demands. Though we don't deserve yet to live, expecting the reprimands. Do you realize how many desperate cries sweep the nation, because there ain't no transportation? And in your deepest dreams, no arms, no jobs, just screams, and the retarded, oops, I drooled. Now, in society, today, yesterday, tomorrow, cripples don't make disturbing command or ripples. I can tell this by the way you don't stare. Tain't fair, I swear, I swear, I swear to dare. Do you know there are black cripples, yellow cripples, red cripples, white cripples, mellow, lazy cripples, fat cripples, old cripples, cruel cripples? That's why they go to special school. Some of us shake, some crawl, don't do nothing but accept. Guess what? I got muscles. I got a bicep. How's that concept? Tell you what I am. I'm a cotton picking rammer. So's coacher. Yes, even gold hammer. Two other spastics. So the truth is across the bridge. On the other side, the revolution of the cripples is yet to be cried. It's evolution, and you, my friend, are helping the freak in its sporting trend. Each evolutionary freak may be the power of tomorrow. Power to the cripple. Power to the archetype, the limping hero. And that was by Arthur Honeyman. He wrote it in March 1976. And now another poem by Arthur. You're damn right we will. We'll show them anyhow. You're damn right we will. We'll roll down the street. We'll hobble, we'll crawl, we'll struggle blindly with dog or cane. We'll shake, we'll drool, we'll be disgusting spectacle. We'll show them our heritage and our lack of heritage. We'll show them they can't ignore our screams of cripple power. We want more. We'll break down the walls to boxes that they stuck us in for years and placated us with paternalistic help. We'll show them how realistic we can be by living our fantasies. We'll show them in living color what it means to drool while you laugh, to grope while you walk, to roll over a curb, to have 1,000 people stare at you, and to have 1,000 people look away from you. We'll show them with love that Jesus Christ only suffered a little while on a cross with thorns in his crown and nails in his bloody hands, but not for years at a time, and not without hope. And that was also by Arthur Honeyman, which he wrote on February 8, 1971. This is Michael McCusker. Joanne Rideout is engineer for this program. A letter writer to the Washington Post called Donald Trump the orange blob. Perhaps orange fruitcake might also be appropriately descriptive, or yellow-domed cretin, if not yellow-bellied coward, for his inherited wealth, privilege, and fake 4F category during the Vietnam War for bone spurs in his feet. Now, as president, he seems eager to start a war. an arrogant, power-hungry Nero. A last word from George Orwell, from his immortal novel, 1984. Thought crime does not entail death. Thought crime is death. Fomenting war is most definitely a thought crime, and would most likely foment a civil war more terrible than the first one in this country a century and a half in the past. And so also is a blatant attempt to disregard the U.S. Constitution and rig a third term as president, which would also, if successful, abrogate his conviction to prison for blatant constitutional crimes that would more or less alter democracy to a dictatorial farce, and would most likely foment a civil war more terrible than the first one a century and a half in the past.
You've been listening to A Story Told on KMUN, featuring Michael McCusker, journalist, activist, former firefighter, and Vietnam veteran. Michael has been sharing essays and poetry on A Story Told since 1987. For 30 years, he published the North Coast Times-Eagle newspaper out of his home in Astoria, Oregon. Michael currently shares his work and the works of other authors from his home on the Central Oregon coast. Join us here next week for A Story Told.